Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is Catherine Crescent with Beyond Words Live. This show is designed to be a platform for survivors to tell their story in their own words. Without further ado, let's see who our guest is today.
Well, our guest is to be Marcia Jones, who comes forth today talking about what brought her into the passion for activism and women's rights, what she has done with that time frame, and what her hopes are for the future. I had talked to her last week. She's not online just yet. I hope that she will be soon. She is very involved with reproductive rights, AIDS, HIV, women, a whole spectrum of things. And she's very exciting to talk to. So I'm hoping there's a possibility that she didn't get back in town or she's en route. I'm not sure because I haven't heard from her today. But earlier this week, she was going to some meetings in another state involving the HIV issues, sexual education issues, and whatnot. And she was concerned about the Cowboys. because that was her team. She was going to make sure she was watching that game. But I haven't heard from her just yet. She is part of some of the speakers that have volunteered to speak at the upcoming rally, the women's rights, the women's reproductive rights rally that is coming up in January 24th. It's coming up really fast. And a lot of this is concerning some of the issues that are coming up in the state legislature and that, you know, also the U.S., but more particularly what's happening in the Texas legislation coming up, and there's like six different laws involving abortion issues, which, you know, the perspective that we're looking at is having a choice, have the woman being able to have a say over her body and having a choice of what she chooses to do with her body. And I'm looking for some of those laws real quick while we're waiting for Marcia. I know I posted them here. So let me look real quick. Yeah, here we go. There's like House Bill 550 that's been introduced. Relating to the provision of health and human services in the state, blah, 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 including the powers and duties of the commission. But it's clarifying certain statutory provisions and authorizing the imposition of fees. And then Senate Bill 219, also relating to fees. And then House Bill 113, which is relating to the prohibiting abortion that's based on the sex of the unborn child, creating an offense for that. I personally don't agree with that, but that's not my say-so. There's a lot of cultures that do that, so that influences the choices of different cultures that do believe in selective gender. And then there's three more that are coming into the state legislation. One involving related to the personal abortion facilities and certain other facilities performing abortions to complete training on human trafficking, which is probably not a bad thing. You know, we need to be aware of the human trafficking aspects. That can be very pervasive. And, you know, as we can all agree that we need more awareness on this issue, because on human trafficking issues, because it does affect a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And it could even be a house next door to you that's doing human trafficking. That's how pervasive it is. House Bill 468, relating to the capacity of certain minors to consent to examination of medical equipment related to contraception. And then Senate Bill 114 relating to the applicability of adverse licensing, listing, or registration decisions of certain health and human service agencies. Those are all related to the abortion issues that have come up in this upcoming legislation, not limited to, you know, whatever else is being brought forth. And then there's some in the federal, but the current ones in the federal, the most recent ones, aren't all listed. One of them is U.S. Senate Bill 50, which is to prohibit certain abortion-related discrimination in governmental activities, which is contradictory to another one where they were talking about if a state employee couldn't be proactive in the, I may not be quoting it right, so I'm not going to go further on that, but there's some convoluted aspects of that. And then Senate Bill 51, a bill to amend Title X of the Public Health Service to prohibit family planning grants from being awarded to any entity that performs abortions for other purposes. So a lot of the Planned Parenthood is reliant on grants. A lot of the abortion clinics are reliant on grants. A lot of the public education, sex education, is relying on grants. And when you're talking about grants, that really cuts into the funding of getting this information out and heard, and so that people can make a choice of what they want to do with their bodies. Senate Bill 78 in the U.S. Is a bill imposed admitting privilege requirements with respect to physicians who perform abortions. And so that's involving those physicians that have been doing those abortions being admitted to the hospitals to be able to do that at the hospitals instead of the clinics, so that they can continue their practice where needed. And those are just some of the different issues. There's also an issue, and I don't have that posted yet, about having permission to get, if you are raped, to get permission to, from the quote father, and you want to get an abortion, you have to get permission from the father, and an exception would be for legitimate rape. But when do you, how do you determine legitimate rape, and when does that go into effect? You know, are you going to have to wait for a conviction? And if so, that might take a lot longer than the terms, the pregnancy terms. There's just so many issues out there, and it's just a prevailing, ongoing concern when it comes to women's rights, because it seems like every which way you turn, certain parties are getting a little bit more restrictive in what women can do. And of course, women are wanting to be heard and, you know, equal pay, you know, equal this and equal that. You know, it's all out there. And the more we get our message across, the better. I wish it didn't take rallies to be able to get our voices heard, but sometimes it just does. So that's why women from Austin, Texas, and all over Texas, and actually all over the United States, are coming to the rally on January 24th. And participating to be able to share their voice and to be heard, so that we can hopefully make a difference in 2015, despite a lot of Republicans being into their offices, and not just Republicans in general, but some extreme Republicans that have some extreme views. I'm not a Republican hater, but I do dislike the discord that is currently in Congress between the Republican and the Democrat parties. And I can't wait until the day that they actually become more congruent and be able to agree on things. At this point, it hasn't been demonstrated very well for the past 6-7 years or more. And it's time that it does. And I think part of the rally is to share that voice. My mantra is sharing your voice on my Domestic Violence Voices Facebook page, and on the show, you know, sharing this, sharing your voice. The mantra is, you know, and the platform is on this radio show, is for survivors to come on and share their story in their own words, because so often they are not heard in your typical media, because typical media has their own demographics that they seem to want to fulfill. You know, some magazines that even us 50-year-olds love to read, but they think that their demographics only is limited to, say, you know, 29-year-olds, and it's not true. Because I've talked to a lot of people now, those people, because they, Glamour thinks that their demographics is so low, have, you know, kind of brushed them aside now, because, you know, they're not valuing the relationship of the 50-year-olds and the 6-year-olds that still read these magazines and other media, you know, that is represented out there. It's a shame. It really is a shame that these voices aren't heard on a regular basis. But, you know, if it comes to having a rally and bringing some unity to our voice, then that's what we're going to do. And I've been working with a committee, and I really enjoy working with these ladies. They have had some phenomenal backgrounds, and I have been bringing some of them on the radio show to share their voice and get a little bit of background on what it has taken for them to get to this point, for them to share how they became more active in their roles and in their voices and their hopes and dreams to become more active and heard a lot more in our communities and in respect for our communities. Like Nisa was saying yesterday, you know, she hopes to be able to move to Austin, not to leave her community in the valley behind, but to be able to voice their opinions. And not necessarily in Congress, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to be a, you know, a representative, but somewhere in the background, she wants to be able to share those voices and let our congressmen know, you know, this is what your constituents are saying, and we need to be heard. We need our voices to be heard. And I could go on and on. No doubt. I love being able to share our voices. And the reason why I started this show 5 years ago and have had a lot of speakers on, a lot of survivors from all kinds of different aspects, and male and female, domestic violence, human trafficking, child abuse, sexual abuse, oh, you name it. And I also have survivors of lymphedema because not only do I have it, but there are so many out there that have this and go through the same type of aspects of being a survivor of domestic violence or something else, because it's such a chronic issue. It's not something that's curable. It's not something that you can take a pill and be done with it, like bronchitis or pneumonia or whatever. I wish it was that simple. I don't like elevating my legs all the time. I don't like having them pumped all the time. I don't like wearing garments all the time. I'd like to be more normalized and be able to do all the things that I love to do, like ride my bike. I used to ride my bike all the time before I had lymphedema. I used to be a lot more active. But things happen, and I had an auto accident over 10 years ago now, and so be it. You know, that's what's happened, and maybe there'll be a cure soon, I hope, but in the meantime, even the lymphedema people are trying to share their voice and be heard on Capitol Hill. George and I were part of that when we went to D.C. Phenomenal experience. My cat is trying to steal my remote. How dare he? But anyhow, we went up to D.C., had a phenomenal experience, had an absolute blast. being able to talk to all these different legislators and see them face to face and all in one place. You know, it was kind of hard to get from building to building at times, and they have all kinds of tunnels to get from one building to another. And we found a subway under the Capitol that was interesting. And, you know, it was just really interesting experience. And if you haven't done so, for whatever issue that you are believing in and want to change their viewpoints on, you should go down and share your voice. I think if we shared more of our voices at Capitol Hill, that the legislation might start listening to the people a lot more. Could be. Who knows? But we won't know until we do. And so that's the point of going to the state capitol here in Texas and going to share our voices and being heard, raising our voices in justice, you know, to be heard, to have a say-so over our bodies as women. You know, we should not live to a dictation of what our body should, what we should be able to do with our bodies. Anyway, I thank you for coming. I can talk forever and ever. If you want to jump in and have a question with me, that is great. The guest call-in number is area code 877-665-1554. Otherwise, I may bring this show to a close for this morning and reschedule Miss Marcia Jones. I wishing that she jump on real soon, because I'm so excited about sharing her with you. And I talked to her last week, and she is actually very phenomenal speaker, very enthusiastic, very exciting to listen to. And when you listen to her, you're motivated. You're wanting to do more. You want to get out and do more. And she's also coming to Austin, not only in January, but they're also doing some kind of conference, either in Austin or up in Dallas. But women out there, there are conferences everywhere, and a lot of them are free. Take advantage of them. Go to my page, Domestic Violence Voices. I'm trying to post as many of them as I can on there. And just get share the message and share your voice. And if you would like to come on my radio show and share your voice, please do. I would love to have you. You can go to Domestic Violence Voices on Facebook page or the Beyond Words Live Facebook page and message me. That's probably the easiest way to get hold of me, is to message me. I don't check it regularly every day. There's so much I do behind the scenes to keep the Domestic Violence Voices and the radio show and everything running, but I will try to get back with you as quickly as possible. And just let me know, hey, I want to be on your show and I want to share this kind of a story with your listeners. I'll be happy to get that all coordinated for you so that we can share your voice as well. I believe in sharing your voice. I preach it, and I walk the talk. basically. I hope that you have all had a great day. I hope that you are motivated for more activism, more sharing of your rights. And I do have a caller coming in. Hang on one second. Hello, who is this?
Good morning, this is Stacy Guidry.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I saw that you were talking live.
Talking live, and I wanted to call in and say hello to folks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate that. I always preach about sharing your voice. Is there anything you would like to say in that respect? Or
Absolutely. I feel with the new legislature that is coming in this session, I think that we are in a very defensive position as women. It's a really unfortunate position to be in. We would hope that as mothers, sisters, wives, grandmothers, aunts, nieces, that we would have more support from a male-dominated legislature, and a conservative viewpoint that says that women are, you know, that are so highly regarded and that their concern for our safety is at the forefront of every decision they make. We know it's a load of crap. This is about control, dominion over over women, and this is about control over our choices. This is cherry picking the Constitution of what rights to uphold, which rights to suppress, and you know, we're not getting a fair shot at defending our rights that have already been established, that women have died for and fought for generations before us, and we have an absolute civic duty to fight for the our generation and the next generation to come, and make sure that they've got reproductive choice to ensure that we are treated with dignity and respect, and that our rights are upheld, no matter if they are liked or disliked by a particular party or sect of legislators.
Absolutely. Are there any in particular that you're more inspired, if you will, to argue the point on?
Can you say that again?
Are there more? Is there a particular legislation that you're more inspired to argue the point on that's coming up?
Not any particular legislation. Well, I think actually one that is very ridiculous is the one that addresses women having abortions based on the baby's sex. The baby's gender, the fetus gender. I think that, that preemptive legislation is absolutely ridiculous. We are not living in China. We don't have rules regarding, you know, single children and a culture, you know, where it is more favorable to have a male child.
Right.
To me, this is terrorism. This is domestic terrorism. This is, you know, just absolute extremism, and it is so out there. It's just so out there that it's so disconnected from what, from the mentality of what women go through when these types of decisions are made in order to exercise their rights to choose to abort a pregnancy. You know, women aren't aborting because of a female or a male child. That's not the issue. women are aborting because they may not be able to afford another child. They may be defending the children that they already have. That child may have fetal abnormalities that has doomed the pregnancy, that you know, the mother's life may be endangered. This, mm-hmm. And the fact that all of these are, or the majority of these are presented by male lawmakers, is just sickening. They really have no clue how the female body works in the first place, and they really can't put themselves in the shoes of women making these decisions.
Right.
They will really fully never understand. And I like to, you know, present the statistics that 77% of anti-choice lawmakers, you know, will never, 100% of those will never be pregnant. 77% of anti-choice lawmakers are male, and 100% of them will never be pregnant. They will never know. They will never understand. Yet they are in the lead, putting out there provisions that will severely restrict bodily autonomy, and women have full agency over their bodies. And again, they're cherry picking the Constitution. This is a legal procedure. The, you know, the week, the 24 weeks is the max.
Right.
And the majority of abortions happen well before the first trimester ends. And so, you know, they're really taking it to an extreme. They've got an extreme viewpoint on this. There is no basis in science for them to make these decisions. There's also a ring, several layers of religion placed on top of the issue, and, you know, imposing their morality on women, trying to make the best decisions for themselves and most likely their pre-existing families.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also attacks immigrants in the aspect that so many of them, their culture is based on selective gender, and, you know, so that it really attacks a whole nother gambit. But it all boils down to women, whether they're immigrant women or citizens of the United States. You know, you just can't be selective and, you know, make an arbitrary law like that really attacks people.
And those types of laws really invest time and assumption into the absolute worst of any situation. So there is a preemptive law, you know, that says, oh, this is the worst that could possibly happen. We're going to put this law in place now so that, you know, you have no choice later on in life. And this is not a scenario that will even happen. It's ridiculous. The lawmakers pushing these bills are not rooted in science. They are not OBGYNs. They're not doctors. They are not anywhere in the realm of science, because it's not something that they pursue. It's really something, that people who support choice are invested in, is the science behind it. And, for me, it is overregulation, which is supposed to be a conservative talking point, you know, to uphold the Constitution, uphold state laws, and to defy government overreach. And this is absolute government overreach, and it is being pushed directly by those who claim to love the Constitution, uphold the Constitution, and not agree with government overreach.
Right. Well, I want to clarify one thing real quick, because George and I went up to D.C. and we met with some of the representatives. There are some representatives that are doctors, you know, a few of them, probably enough to count on your hands. But, you know, hopefully those people are the ones that are also fighting against the other people, representatives that are not as educated on the medical aspects of this and be able to argue on our benefit to be on our side to understand.
And I should have said the majority aren't, but you know, you look at Senator Bob Dole from the Dallas region here in that represents that area. You know, he's I believe an OB, and you know, he has the science and the background and the knowledge on how a female reproductive system works. But again, he's male and won't understand the mentality of women making these decisions. And he is one of the leaders of anti-choice legislation in Texas as an OB. And, you know, I don't see the Christian conservative right lining up outside of adoption services centers, scooping up all the unwanted children. And I think they're very hypocritical saying that adoption is the option that should be taken.
Mm-hmm.
They're pro-life whenever they're actually just pro-birth and, you know, really could care less about the children who are striving to, you know, live in a society where their own party is crumbling and making every effort to crumble the social security net. You know, programs like food stamps or SNAP, programs that will help unwed mothers get a leg up, you know, programs that will fight for equal pay for equal work. You know, the majority, a large percentage of breadwinners are single mothers and households. And having equal pay legislation would do wonders for women who are raising children, who decided to have the child and not abort. But those services and that social safety net is not being supported, is actually being dismantled by the very party, and the very Christian, quote-unquote Christian right, that say that they value life so much. And I don't see it in actuality. I don't see it coming to reality. So to me, again, that's another facet of being hypocritical in this fight.
Absolutely, because on the one hand, they're saying, oh, we don't want people on welfare, and they don't want people to continue to be on a welfare or, you know, any of these social services.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they put people in that position purposely because they're trying to take away the right to have the abortion. You know, where, you know, if a domestic violence person is in a domestic violence situation and the abuser is, you know, trying to keep them barefoot and pregnant, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep that power and the control over them. And so there's no leverage. There's no way that this person can get out of the system, you know, if they're just being pushed into the system.
Right. And, you know, I feel that women and mothers are very, very proud people. They don't want to be in a submissive position. They don't want to be kept in a bad situation. They don't want their children to face abuse. But there are many other, there are so many factors that are fighting against women that are trying to get out of that situation, and they just can't. And there is just heartbreaking to know that the quote unquote pro-life movement is so adamant in making sure that there is every disadvantage toward women who are in these types of situations possible. That's what it seems like to me, in my opinion, from what I've seen over the years of women's rights activism that I've done and the legislation that I've followed and fought. You know, it is absolutely rigged. The system is rigged to belittle and keep women in their place. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really a shame. I get so aggravated. And that's why I think the rally is so great, you know, because there are a lot of aggravated people out there.
I tell you
and
what, absolutely.
And for women, huh?
I said, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the more frustrating things that I just recently saw is that now with a new Congress just elected in November, and a record number of women who were elected to Congress,
mm-hmm.
the panel or the commission dealing with women's rights, reproductive rights issues is all male. There is not one female on a panel that deals with women's reproductive rights issues, and that is infuriating to me.
No doubt. How did that happen?
Exactly. Well, look at who is running Congress now. Look at your House Majority Leader. Look at the Senate is now GOP-led. So, you know, there's a shift in the dynamics and the power structure within Congress, and it has reflected in state legislatures all across the country.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we really need to reframe the debate. It is not, you know, there's an oversimplification of labeling people who are pro-choice as baby killers. That is such an oversimplification of oversimplification of why we fight for women's bodily autonomy, why we should have agency over our own bodies. You know, that it is, you
exactly.
know, and being upheld in the Constitution as well, you know, that it is something to fight for. And, you know, I really want to see the reaction from an anti-choice person whose daughter has had an abortion. I'd really like to see their reaction. I'd really like to see what that person's justification could be to possibly support their child in making a decision to abort a pregnancy. Until you're in that situation, you have really no idea. And, you know, there's a lot of judgment from people who are supposed to be non-judgmental in following Christ.
Right.
And there is, you know, I just keep going back to the hypocrisy is just mind-blowing. And, you know, the fact that we keep putting these types of people into office, it really comes down to us as voters.
Mm-hmm. And a respect for other people's
sure.
opinions.
That should have to go unsaid, but
right.
clearly we have to say it over and over and over again.
I know. Because personally, I really believe that, you know, I would go ahead and have that birth, but I respect the people's position where that, you know, there's all kinds of circumstances, and
mm-hmm.
I am not putting myself into their shoes and having to make that decision. I do not
mm-hmm.
want to be the one to make that decision. And I respect them for whatever process that they go to make that final decision. I know it's not easy. And
mm-hmm.
there's so many circumstances that happen, you know, the rape and there's so much involved. And, you know, health issues and everything.
But it's not only that, you know, I think that not only do we have a social security net that's being dismantled by the GOP, saying that women on food stamps and welfare are moochers off of society.
Right.
Well, you know, they haven't put themselves in that situation. But on the other side of the coin, they are abstinence only. They do not promote sexual education and how our bodies work. We need to learn that at a young age. They do not support birth control, you know, to prevent abortions. You look at Catholic-run hospitals all over the state of Texas that, you know, are starting, your priests are wanting to ban tubal ligations. Getting your tubes tied is a great way to prevent pregnancies. So they want more abortions to occur? I don't understand the rationale behind this. It's a legal, safe procedure. But it's just another way of chipping away at, you know, shaming women for having sex for enjoyment and pleasure.
Right.
And shaming women to get pregnant. But there has never been one law ever introduced that regulates a male's body and sexual activity ever in the history of the U.S. So I, you know, again, there's a hypocrisy. It takes two to tango, but they're really only focusing on the female gender and, you know, how we're promiscuous and that we should only enjoy or have sex for procreation. And, you know, this is where the, you know, you bring in the biblical BS again, and it's just a forced morality. And, you know, wiggled into legislation that affects everybody.
Oh, exactly. And when I talked to Marcia last week, she and I were talking about the funding issues. And we were talking about how there's a legislation going into effect where, well, it went into effect in Florida. And Texas is like, oh, well, that sounds good. Maybe we'll have it here, too. They spend all this money to have drug testing on the people in welfare. And I can understand to a degree why they do it. But, the you know, Marcia pointed out there's a small percentage of people that take advantage and do that, you know, that they are involved with drugs and they, you know, they just have no gump, you know, for motivation to move on with their lives, and so they're kind of stuck on this welfare system. I can understand that point, but
right.
By the same token, they're spending all this money in order to do this, where they could be spending the money on preventative care, you know, or something else. You know, it's just, it doesn't make sense. The way that they do things.
I know. And you know, we're to me, in order, you know, to be a conservative, you have to value conserving things and preventing things that will cost money to all of society down the road. So opposing sexual education, opposing birth control, opposing Obamacare, you know, opposing a social safety net, and opposing preventative care for people, you know, that are addicted to drugs and treating them like criminals rather than ill. You know, that is not conservative values to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, I just keep coming back to the hypocrisy of do as I say, not as I do. And that's reflected in legislation that affects all of us. And it is very heavy to fight, you know, all the time. And it is this,
well, and I think a lot of conservatives,
monumental task.
Right. And I think that a lot of conservatives just really focus on, well, Democrats or liberals are all social justice people. And so anything that involves social justice, we're going to vote against, which is so I mean, there has to be a middle ground. And
it's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive. And you think about their, you know, their path of what would Jesus do. This is not what Jesus would do. And
no,
abortion is not mentioned in the Bible. So I, you know, they're it's just a, you know, just shoving religious doctrine down the throats of all Texans and all across the U.S., you know, basing these policies on religious doctrine rather than science. And it is just a tragedy. It's a tragedy because we are going to see down the road millions and millions of wasted dollars to not only fight this lunacy, but you know, to have to, you know, raise the these unwanted children,
right?
And so there needs to be better prevention. They have to be behind prevention. It is just critical that prevention is at the forefront of these issues. If they want to help drive down abortion numbers, that's the only way it can happen. Abstinence-only programs just don't work.
I know. You know, and their viewpoints is reflective on the border issues, too, because, I mean, they're detaining all these children who are, they're just seeking, you know, freedom. And, you know, you got to realize that their freedom is based on their parents. You know, can you imagine the parent and the other country sending their child off to another country?
Yeah.
You know,
no way.
I could not send my child into another country. I just couldn't, no matter how bad it got. But, I mean, it must be so horrendous that they send their children up here, and then we treat them by putting them in these prisons. Yeah, it just doesn't mesh. Anyway, don't get me started on that. And, you know, it's just another example of their mentality of just wanting to banish these children, you know, from society. And it's like, why? You know, they're human beings. They're children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's again, a hypocrisy of value for life. You value... you know, you're going to put a stronger value on a white child's life than a colored child's life.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening, and I'm just going to say it straight out. That is exactly what's happening. You look at women affected at the clinic closures all across Texas, and the majority are rural. They're poor. They live in East Texas, far West Texas, the Rio Grande Valley. You know, those are your, you know, our border towns that are being most affected, you know, and it is the African-American and Latinas that are seeing the most devastation from lack of access to not only abortion, but reproductive care, health screenings, cancer screenings, being able to determine if you're HIV positive and finding out where to get those types of, you know, of medications to help you live.
Right.
I mean, that is critical to women's health. And this has somehow spun out of control to the extremist view, is that this is all about abortion, and it is absolutely not.
No, it's not. And that's why we're encouraging people from all aspects to come. We want to have your voices heard as well. Absolutely. It's just got to get your voice out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I may be done ranting. I'm appreciative of you giving me a platform, all of us a platform, in order to not only tell our stories, but to flip the framing of the entire debate. You know, it's just such a huge undertaking. And so, you know, it's been a constant fight since Roe v. Wade passed in the early 70s. It has been a culmination of local and state chipping away, you know, where you barely notice it. And then all of a sudden, over the last, you know, 5 years or so, it's really come to a head. And we are fighting, you know, a 50-head monster, a hydra, that is, you know, just reappearing and regenerating, you know. And you can thank ALEC legislation for that, too.
Right.
And the Supreme Court, that is clearly anti-woman, you know, allowing things like the Hobby Lobby decision and opening the floodgates for other companies to deny women, opening the floodgates for religious institutions that have employees deny them health care benefits based on their gender.
Exactly. Or their personal beliefs. Well, I'm so glad you came on and shared your part of the story. Even though Marcia was, I don't know what happened. She must be out of town or something.
Well, you'll get her next time. She's a phenomenal lady and, you know, can speak well on these issues. And,
absolutely.
You know, I look forward to the next program. When will that be, your next program?
I have Mia on tomorrow.
Oh, Mia. Okay, great.
Yeah. And then Melissa will be on Monday, Antonio Tuesday, and Kayla on Wednesday. And I can't think from there.
You've got a great lineup coming up, and I really encourage folks who are listening right now to go and tune in to each of these programs, because all of these women who are scheduled to come onto your program are going to have different and diverse perspectives that are supportive of why we need to fight and why women deserve to have their rights upheld and deserve the right to have full agency over their bodies.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you jumping in very much. And
you bet.
I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. And thank you, listeners, for joining in. I, you know, wish Marcia was here. We did share some of Marcia's viewpoints, but I hope to be able to reschedule with her soon so that we can get her voice heard as well. And hopefully she'll be down at the rally as well, so you'll also get a double dose of being able to hear her voice there as well. It's so important to share our voice every day. You know, be opinionated. You know, debate the issue. Go and share your information, your voice with legislators who are the ones who are making the laws, that can make laws that change lives for the good, hopefully. If they hear from us, they need to hear more from the constituents. They need to hear from you. They need to know your voice. And they need to know that these are things that concern us. I look forward to talking to y'all tomorrow with Mia, and I can't wait to share the rest of the stories. I also have survivors coming on and sharing their stories. Please keep tuning in and share your voice. Have a great day, and keep it real. Have a good day.